Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Tonight, communities around the nation will come together for National Night Out. It's a campaign by the National Association of Town Watch. Every year, on the first Tuesday of August, over 30 million people take to the streets to get to know their neighbors and talk about creating better communities. The idea of bringing people out for an evening of activities to foster familiarity among neighbors takes a variety of forms. Neighbors have porch vigils, parades, or arrange for visits from emergency personnel. Tonight also marks the National Night Out for Safety, Democracy, and Human Rights. Justice for Families sponsors this event, and it's meant to draw attention to immigration, criminal justice, and civil liberties issues. Neighborhoods are invited to come together to talk about what it means to create safe communities. So on today's Your Call, we're talking about National Night Out. Do you know your neighbors? Have you ever been involved in an event like this to get to know neighbors, to talk about issues like crime prevention or building a better neighborhood? And what is possible when neighbors actually come together? Today, we are joined by Todd David. He's president of the Friends of Noe Valley in San Francisco, and this group was formed back in 1970. Hi, Todd. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. We're also joined by Akil Trusso. He's a community organizer who works to prevent gang violence in Oakland. He's also an intern at a drug program that works with high-risk clients in Oakland who just got out of jail. And Akil has been to many night outs in West Oakland, and he joins me here in studio. Hi, Akil. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
And we're joined by Zachary Norris, executive director of the Ella Baker Center and founder of Justice for Families, a national alliance of local organizations committed to ending youth incarceration. He's also a lawyer who works on these issues. He worked on a campaign that closed several California youth prisons. And a piece by the Ella Baker Center's Mia Marietta says, quote, "We could not agree more with the idea of building friendship and connection in order to build safer communities. Yet conversations at National Night Out often turn to the need for more police and a more active neighborhood watch. The tragic death of Trayvon Martin calls this into question. Are we watching our neighbors or really seeing them? Does our community truly need more police? Are the value and sanctity of Black and brown children's lives reflected in our neighborhoods, courtrooms, and schools? And how do we ensure safety for all?" End quote. And Zachary's also in studio. Hi, Zach. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with you, Akil, because you've been to several of these night outs in West Oakland. I was surprised to read that last year there were 600 of these events in Oakland alone. And that's a lot of events.
Yeah, it is.
This is really a popular thing going on here. What explains that? It's great to see it.
It helps out for the community members to get together and talk and get to know each other. And when, you know, it's good for the kids to be there and the young teens, the guys that hang out on the block, to come to the event also and get familiar with the parents and their neighbors, so that when something bad happens, the kid is not foreign to the parent telling them or their neighbor telling them to stop doing something or try to encourage them to do something different. So it kind of gives the parents and the neighbors a sense of authority to speak to the kids and not offend them because they know them. So this is a good thing to get everybody, you know, in touch with everybody.
So you're in your observations, you're seeing parents talking to kids for the first time that maybe they've never met before?
Yes.
What about you, Zach? Why do you think National Night Out has been so successful?
I mean, I think the idea of neighbors coming together to reclaim safe communities is a good one. And people like my sister, who may have experienced a break-in on her block in Oakland, want to know what can they do to support safe communities. And so it's that idea that draws people out. And I think what we are calling for in an expanded conversation around a night out for safety, democracy, and human rights is for to get to that next level of the conversation. Because too often, The conversation is just driven by the idea that neighbors are the eyes and ears of the police, which is a really limited vision and can reinforce more suspicion than compassion, which results in tragedies like the killing of Trayvon Martin. And so what we want to say loud and clear is that the community has hearts, hands, and minds, that folks like Akil are doing great work to do violence prevention and to stop violence in their communities, that people are planting community gardens and feeding each other, that people have ideas about how resources should be better spent, that we shouldn't be spending $120,000 a year per young person to lock a young person up in a youth prison here in California, that those resources could be better spent actually engaging young people, that the programs like the one that Akil's is a part of should be expanded, and that job opportunities should be expanded for young people. So we want to nuance the conversation around community safety.
Yeah, and it's interesting because at the most basic level, when you've got 30 million people involved in something like a National Night Out taking place tonight, and you can check our website to find out what's happening in your area, people just seem to crave community, right? I mean, they really want to know, who do I live near? And I realize in my neighborhood in San Francisco, I'm kind of embarrassed to say I don't know many of my neighbors. I mean, things change quickly. People rent new apartments. They come and go. And the other thing I'd love to talk about today is how do you actually create sort of a neighborhood, like Friends of Noe Valley, for example, Todd. This group was formed back in 1970, and it's pretty active.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, we are fairly active. You know, it was created in 1970, and I think that it has morphed, you know, in a lot over the years. We are now, you know, kind of our sole purpose of our organization is to create community. And so we hold events, you know, not, like, we're actually not, Friends of Noe Valley is not holding a night out event, but I know that one of our local neighborhoods, let's see, it is in Mira Loma Park Improvement Club, which is right over the hill, is holding. But we do like 4 or 5 events a year to get the community, like basically everything that the other participants in this conversation are saying is to get neighbors to know each other so that it's not just, you know, it's you know, when my child walks down 24th Street, that the merchants on 24th Street know him, and that if he's misbehaving, they can say to him, hey, Noah, cut it out, like, you know, or we're going to call your dad. So I totally appreciate and agree that, like, that this getting to know community is a phenomenal thing that should be happening in all communities, and we try to participate in that as Friends of Noe Valley.
And because of this, Todd, do you feel like you know your neighbors better?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I know my neighbors very, very well. Noe Valley has a Saturday farmers market every Saturday right in the heart of 24th Street, which is our commercial corridor. And literally, like, if I need to run into somebody, like there's someone I want to see, like I can go to the farmers market from 9 till 12, and there is a 95% chance that I will run into that person because every Saturday the community comes to the farmers market. And so it's really been this great community building experience. So I do feel like that I know my neighbors and the greater Noe Valley community fairly well.
Yeah, I'd love to get listeners in on this conversation early, because when you're talking about getting to know your neighbors, I mean, do you know your neighbors? And have you ever been involved in any kind of event like National Night Out or anything else? Is there a community group in your neighborhood that you've been involved with? And what is possible when neighbors come together? If you have tips for those of us who maybe don't know our neighbors so well but would like to, how should we go about doing that? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. So, Akil, in the neighborhoods you work in West Oakland, what is really possible when neighbors come together and are not weary, for example, of each other?
Well, it can help out a whole lot. That can stop some bad stuff from happening when they know each other. They can introduce the kids to our team. So, for example, what we're doing right now is we're pulling one high-risk client from each hotspot area, each hotspot zone. And then we're working with those clients to help them try to find some type of employment training. We're dealing with one of the city council members with this. We're taking the kids out to go do things like to go eat, barbecue, giving them tickets. We gave tickets to the fair for the fair this weekend from some of our for some of our contacts that we deal with in these high-risk areas. We're showing them that we care. Some of the parents, if they would get involved with our community mediation, I'm sure that everybody in the area has someone in their family that wants to change the temperature of the community. And it would help out a whole lot if the parents would introduce us to their nephews, their nieces, to their sons and daughters, so that we could show them another way. And it's easier if we go through the parents sometimes. Mm. It's easier getting to the house. You know, it's easier to get close to the kids that way and the young adults. Sometimes the people that we deal with, they're, you know, kind of fearful of what can happen on this side of the fence. Being honest, you know, not doing anything illegal and still... A lot of people don't know that, you know, being honest, you can still make money. You don't have to run from the canine unit. You don't have to stand on the corner and sell drugs. If we weigh that out, you can carry lumber wood for $8 an hour and last longer than the guy that's selling drugs. In 3 months, he could be in jail. In 3 months, you could still be carrying lumber wood. You know what I mean? So it just, they need to know that... being honest pays.
And you're able to talk about these issues at these events.
I'm able to talk about the issues, yep, at the events. And when I'm able to make a home visit, when the parents get involved and call us up and say, come talk to my son, come talk to my daughter, that makes it even easier to get down to the problem.
And that is Akil Trousseau. He is a community organizer who works to prevent gang violence in Oakland. He's been to several night out events in East Oakland. Zachary Norris is executive director of the Ella Baker Center and founder of Justice for Families. And Todd David is president of the Friends of Noe Valley. And today we're talking about National Night Out. It's tonight. It's a campaign bringing together communities, people, urging people to get to know their neighbors, to talk about what they're facing, what would make a better neighborhood. 30 million people are expected to take to the streets tonight to get to know each other and talk about building better communities. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on National Night Out? Have you taken part in it? Do you know your neighbors? Do you want to know your neighbors? I'm sure most of you do. But how do you go about that? Do you know if there's a group like Friends of Noe Valley in your neighborhood? And if you've created something, we'd love to hear from you. What is possible when neighbors actually come together? 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Let's hear from Gordon in Alameda. Hi, Gordon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
My comment is basically that growing up, I just, you know, and I'm in my 60s now, but everybody knew everybody in the neighborhoods. And when I moved or our families moved, we always introduced ourselves to neighbors. And when I moved to Alameda, which is where I live now, 25 years ago, I went and introduced myself to all my neighbors so that they knew who I was and who my kids were. And as a result of that, we started a neighborhood watch, and we had occasional meetings that police or fire would come and give presentations, and which was really well received. We had a list of all the neighbors and a little map to show who lived in what house and what phone number they had, so that if someone was leaving and they saw something happening, they could contact that person. They knew our kids. Our kids were still at that time playing in the streets, which is how I grew up, and you'd listen to another parent from who'd tell you to correct your behavior or what have you. But about 10 or 15 years ago, probably 15 years ago, that all kind of changed. And the newer families that came in, their kids don't play out in the streets. And they're, and I don't know if it was from fear or from, like, the polyclos episode. But it's just there's just been a big change, and I think that people are more isolating themselves. I also am a recent employee of the city of El Cerrito, and they have a very wonderful, active night out and neighborhood watch programs in El Cerrito. And as working in the community, people would comment about that, how somebody, you know, they kept an eye on an elderly lady, kept an eye on kids. If there was an emergency or something, it was responded to a lot quicker than not knowing who your neighbors were. And I really am, you know, I wonder why people aren't more neighborly and neighbors and engaging in them. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you. And I also wonder if it depends on where you live. Zach, do you agree with that? Do you feel like people are more isolated now, especially children?
I think that police presence doesn't show up the same way in all communities, and I think we need to be honest about and have a conversation about that. For example, youth and families in Los Angeles will be gathering in Echo Park for a night out for safety, democracy, and human rights, and they are opposing a gang injunction in Echo Park. Students like Alberto Cazares, who's an A student headed to college, has been stopped repeatedly under this gang injunction. He can't walk home. He can't walk to the store without being under suspicion. And those kinds of practices draw people back into their homes. And when we talk about what's a hot spot or what's a cool spots are places where people have access to jobs, where they have opportunities, where young people have a future that they can look forward to. Hot spots are places where folks don't have those same opportunities. And police presence can actually escalate rather than de-escalate the situation sometimes. And I think we want to raise the issue of having a much more complicated conversation about how do we truly create safe communities. Can we listen to the majority of crime victims who are young, black and brown youth and hear what they have to say about how do we create safe communities? When I talk to folks, they say we need hope and we need a job. And you know, if you're selling drugs, if that job is a better paid, a living wage, then that gives you a much better option. If you're using drugs, maybe you need hope. You need something to look forward to. And so a lot of the so-called solutions to crime that we have are not solutions at all. They're making the problems worse. I talk to mothers of families of mothers of incarcerated and formerly incarcerated youth, and they ask me, why is it that I can't get help for my child until he's gotten in trouble with the law? Mm-hmm. There's no program available until he's in the juvenile hall or she's in the juvenile hall. And so that's what we really need to address with this National Night Out. It is really looking across communities and people getting outside of their communities to address what's going on in Bayview, Hunters Point, what's going on in South Los Angeles, what's going on in East Oakland.
Do you feel like this is a good vehicle to use to discuss those issues?
I think it's a vehicle that we have to use. This is the one night of year that's really focused on public safety. And we can't just let the conversation go in the same direction that it has, which is there's crime in the streets. We need more police. And, you know, I am not anti-police. I think most law enforcement who are smart and get it will tell you that you can't arrest your way out of the problem. But they're not. There isn't a comprehensive community safety strategy, and we need to engage that. And right here in California, there are opportunities right now through the realignment, and money's being moved from state prisons to local. Largely, it's going to just local jails right now. It's just increasing jail populations. What it should be going to is funding the kinds of programs that Akil is a part of, funding real job opportunities, educational tracks for young people who need hope in a job.
Mm. Akil was just talking before we went live about a jobs program that's helping kids in West Oakland, but because of funding issues, it's having a hard time surviving.
Right? Yeah, that's true. And we're looking into trying to get some more funding. You know, it's hard. I don't really deal with a lot of the economy part of this. I guess you could say that I do the grunt work. You know, I go out and find the guys that you guys are talking about, the ones that are out there taking stuff and, you know, breaking the law. I go find them and then I bring them to a table and try to get them to talk to one another. I bring these guys from different areas, and what I'm learning now is that we have to address their needs, and we have to address their needs. We have to find out what it is that these guys and these young ladies, what's the problem? And what I'm finding out also is that we're not addressing their psychological issues. These young adults out here, some of them have like PTSD problems and they're triple CMS, and we're not addressing that. We're just locking them up, throwing them in jail when they do something wrong, and then they get back out with the same psychological issues they had when they went in.
Triple CMS, what is that?
That's just, it's a bunch of problems mixed together, a bunch of psychological issues that are mixed together. Like, you know.
Do you feel also that there's like a dialogue between, I mean, it's interesting, you know, Todd is the president of Friends of Noe Valley. You guys work in Oakland.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, well, maybe not even Noe Valley, but like Piedmont. Is there connections between Piedmont and West Oakland? Are you having dialogue?
I think that's interesting you ask that question, because when you think of how do cool spots stay cool, Piedmont has a current proposal that I heard about to take a camera, a picture of every license plate of folks coming into Piedmont. And I look at that, and I don't know how much that's going to cost, but I think it would be a much more effective strategy for to have some kind of outreach strategy to Oakland, not be an isolated, insulated donut. The hole in the donut of Oakland that is an enclave, but really reach out to neighbors to find a comprehensive community safety strategy in the region rather than people closing their doors.
Yeah, because we did a show a few weeks ago about race issues, and we got some emails from people in Piedmont who said break-ins are on the rise, and now they say they're more suspicious of people in the neighborhood, which, you know, you can't blame them, but where's the dialogue around why that's happening? So, I mean, this is really taking this to a different level. But if you're living in Piedmont, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about maybe going to a national night out event in West Oakland to have these kinds of conversations?
Hey, Ruth,
Todd, go ahead.
Can I jump in?
So I think
I believe it was Zachary who mentioned this earlier. It was something that stuck out in my mind. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he said it was $106,000 a year to incarcerate. I'm sorry, say again?
150, last time I checked, for the Division of Juvenile Justice in California.
Yeah, I mean, and that, like, that just strikes me. It's like such a juxtaposition that my children go to the local public, San Francisco public school, and the state of California spends $6,700 per student on education and $150,000 to incarcerate someone. So I could not agree more that there could be such a better use of funding as far as, you know, the state's priorities, that it seems like that the state has much more interest, at least their budgetary interest, in incarcerating youth than educating them. And that, I think, is a huge problem, you know, for all communities, and you know, all parents want their children to be well-educated and to have opportunities. And just there was also a conversation earlier about, like, you know, do you know your neighbors and stuff like that? And so just a quick little story.
Todd, you know, actually hold that thought, because we're going to take just a quick break. But I'll get to you right after the break. That's Todd David, president of Friends of Noe Valley. Yeah. Akil Trusso is a community organizer who works to prevent gang violence in Oakland. Zachary Norris is executive director of the Ella Baker Center. And today we are talking about National Night Out. It's tonight. 30 million people are expected to take to the streets across the country to talk to their neighbors, maybe get to know them for the first time, talk about creating better and safer communities. And how do you go about doing this? Do you know your neighbors? And if you've been to one of these night outs, what's your event look like? What is possible when neighbors come together? It's your call. We'll be back after this.
Your call is much better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, call 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment at the show's website, yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, Holly Kernan will have a conversation about how water should be distributed in California. This is such an important issue. California Governor Jerry Brown has a plan to build twin tunnels under the Bay Delta. Some environmentalists say that plan is dangerous and destructive. Others say, well, how about a compromise like smaller tunnels? So how do you think water should be distributed? That's tomorrow. Tomorrow night at the Oakland Library, our Thursday guest, Gary Young, columnist with The Guardian and author of the new book, The Speech, the story behind Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream, will be speaking at the Oakland Library in the Walters Auditorium, 125 14th Street, and then he'll be on our show on Thursday. So be sure to tune in for that. And if you have a guest idea or a show idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we are talking about National Night Out. Tonight, communities around the country, expecting 30 million people, will take to the streets to get to know their neighbors, maybe meet some new neighbors, and talk about creating better and safer communities. And we'd love to hear from you. If you've ever been involved in any kind of community event, what was it like? What were you able to accomplish? If you've got some success stories, we'd love to hear those. What is possible when neighbors come together? And if you don't know your neighbors, but you'd like to, call in and we can give you some suggestions. Or if you have suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And then we're going a bit deeper today, talking about, you know, trying to bring communities from different economic backgrounds together to make sure they talk to each other rather than isolate themselves. So if you'd like to weigh in on that, we'd love to hear from you. For example, how do you get people from Piedmont to talk to people living in West Oakland? You can email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Todd David, president of the Friends of Noe Valley in San Francisco. Akil Trusso is a community organizer working to prevent gang violence in Oakland. Zachary Norris is executive director of the Ella Baker Center and founder of Justice for Families. And we'll get to calls in a minute, but Todd, you wanted to talk about your wife and a story about getting to know neighbors.
Yes. I mean, so literally just today, like, you know, we had to drive our car to the mechanic, and I went down three doors and knocked on the neighbor's door and said, hey, can we borrow your car so I can give my wife, you know, a ride back from the mechanic? And they said, yeah, of course. So, I mean, so there, and my children are like the children who are out front of our house climbing the trees and playing kind of in the streets. So it just reminded me of the caller from Alameda. The Alameda, that, you know, that there is, I mean, it, you know, I don't know if it's specific my family, but, like, certainly it feels like Noe Valley to me feels very urban villagey, where people do know each other. And I do think, though, that that whole the Piedmont, you know, West Oakland and Oakland, like, conversation is one that's incredibly important to have. As I was mentioning earlier, that, you know, my children go to public schools, and I was part of a there were three of us who organized the first ever enrollment fair for the Bayview community at True Hope Church. And so there definitely are people who recognize the value of reaching out to, you know, building bridges between communities. And I do think that that is a key component to kind of making sure that no community feels isolated and that, you know, we all kind of live in, we all live in a community together. So,
yeah, right. And exactly. Yeah. I mean, what happens in your community over there will eventually affect my community. Right? It's that sort of when we all do better, we all do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Let's hear from Judy in San Francisco calling from Portola. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm calling from the Portola, which is different than Portola Drive or whatever it's called. We're kind of wedged in between the Biz Valley and the Excelsior and the Bayview. And we have just, it just takes, I think, a few people really to help the neighborhood. We have a little community group. They kind of look after community improvements. There was a little tiny park made. they got some funding for it. Just a little tiny park. You can't even really walk in it. It's kind of a barrier to the freeway is what it is. And there was a little ribbon cutting ceremony a few weeks ago, where they, you know, we had the lion dancers, and we just had the neighborhood people performing. And we have a lot of little events like that. We have pop-up. They kind of organize these pop-up art events. One was in a bar, just an old historic sort of bar in our neighborhood, Mexican bar. You know, people just come together and we meet each other. You know, there might be music, there might be art, and it's just a really positive thing for a neighborhood that has lots of layers of you know, different kinds of people coming in.
And do you feel like you know your neighbors better because of these events?
Yeah, I've gotten to meet a few. You know, I'll go to these events now and then and just chat with people there. And, yeah, just sort of know each other. And I always kind of try to smile at people and people I see over and over again as I walk around the streets, I wave at and things like that, just to make a little connection, you know,
yeah.
We're all neighbors.
Yeah, those small things are important. Thank you so much for calling in, Judy.
Thank you.
And let's hear next from Robert in San Francisco. Hi, Robert.
Yes, hi. You know, I'm calling because I used to live right on the edge of Piedmont in Oakland, and I had a shop that was in the heart of the Fruitvale District in an area just down the street from the Hell's Angels Bar, and I would work there late at night sometimes, so I got to see a kind of a juxtaposition of how policing and neighbor-to-neighbor relations go in different kinds of neighborhoods. And I've lived in a lot of different places in the Bay Area, all around, all the different cities. And I think that that's really what it boils down to is, you know, there are factors like the turnover rate. A lot of places, you think where people stay, it really depends on the balance of rental units to housing and the amount of foreclosures in the neighborhood. And turnover issues like that are a major factor because you can't really meet your neighbors when they're changing every couple of weeks. And there's other factors like the neighborliness of the community, how many bars and liquor stores per building there are. You know, I've been lived in Stockton once, and there was a bar or a rescue mission every other building on some streets. Mm-hmm. It was really depressing. It's not the kind of place you want to go out and meet anybody. So there's a lot of factors that lend themselves to the neighborliness of a community. And part of it is just people having the time to get to know each other. But high turnover rates prevent that. So it's really a roll of the dice. And the biggest thing I think people can do is have empathy for others. I remember being in my shop late at night and seeing black kids profiled, being pulled over for nothing, right out in front of my place, and it infuriated me.
Did you reach out to them, Robert?
Well, yes, but who we need to reach out to is the police. They're the ones creating that. The police create that environment of suspicion and fear in various neighborhoods. The police would never do that in Piedmont. Hmm. When I would go walking in the middle of the night in my neighborhood where I live, I would never have to worry about that. But if I walked near my shop, you know, I'm a white guy. I could do that and not have to worry about the police. But nobody I knew that was colored would dare do that in that neighborhood. Just driving down the street, you'd get pulled over. And I think that's the kind of thing that prevents people from creating peace in their neighborhoods, is that's the police act as an outside force sometimes. You know, a lot of the Oakland police don't live in Oakland. They live in Tracy. They live in Fairfield. These are demographic issues.
Well,
people have to get a hold of these issues.
Robert,
it's bigger than just having a bunch of neighbors that look like you that you can talk to.
Well,
you have to be willing to talk to neighbors that look different.
All right. Well, you brought up so many different points there. First off, Zach, how do you deal with the police issue on National Night Out? Because a lot of these groups bring in various members of law enforcement. I know in the Hate in San Francisco, they're seeing an uptick in crime. And they recently had a night out with a cop. So basically, you can walk around the neighborhood with a cop. And it was really interesting to look at the comments because some people said, I'm not going to do that. And others said, well, we need to because we need to figure out what's happening in the neighborhood. It was almost 50-50 split.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. What we need is, again, more nuance. When you don't ask a firefighter what makes a healthy forest. Firefighters come in when the fire is raging in the forest. Police similarly come in when there's some kind of conflict or issue that needs to be addressed. They are there after the fact. When we want to talk about community safety, we should not just be talking to the police. And so part of my response is neighbors need to talk to each other. people need to talk to their city council persons about how resources are spent. One thing that people can do is go to ellabakercenter.org and download a poster. You know, Jane Jacobs used to talk about the eyes on the street, but what are those eyes doing? We have a poster that says, "I don't watch my neighbors, I see them. We make our neighborhood safer together." Mm. And I think those are the conversations that we're hoping to inspire to really get people's real ideas about sustainable long-term solutions, not just responding to crime after it has occurred.
How do you turn that into reality, Akhil, that image? I don't watch my neighbors, I see them.
How do you turn it into a reality? Just, I would say people should not be nosy and just be more friendly. Certain things aren't my business that people do. You know, if I'm not going to help out with whatever situation my neighbor's in, if we're not going to help each other, then we shouldn't be in their business. We should not, like, you know, be detectives or wonder what that person's doing. Some things are not, you know, some things you don't need to know. Some things are inseminated on a need to know basis. So it's people feel we need to respect the next person's boundaries. We need to respect our neighbor's boundaries, you know, and that is a touchy subject. I think that if we would respect other people's boundaries, that would help out a lot, too.
Well, one of the things that folks are doing in Oakland in the Laurel District tonight is coming together to do restorative justice training in a circle to talk about how do we actually resolve conflict among neighbors. Because I think we should be respectful of our neighbors, and we should also look toward solutions that increase community capacity to resolve problems. Because our current criminal justice system, unfortunately, worsens the problem in terms of putting young people, for example, in juvenile halls where they're taken away from their schooling, they're taken away from their family, and they're placed in an environment where they're not continuing a trajectory towards success, but really deterred. And the best predictor of adult incarceration is youth incarceration. And so when we know that, we need as a community to come together with solutions to help deal with problems so that we actually don't have to come in with more heavy-handed solutions that are not solutions.
Today we are talking about National Night Out. It's a campaign by the National Association of Town Watch. Every year on the first Tuesday of August, over 30 million people take to the streets to get to know their neighbors and talk about creating better communities. And we're joined today by Zach Norris, Executive Director of the Ella Baker Center. Akhil Trusso is a community organizer who works to prevent gang violence in Oakland. And Todd David is the president of the Friends of Noe Valley in San Francisco. And we'd love to hear from you if you've ever been involved in one of these night outs or any sort of neighborhood community group. How was it formed? What was your experience like? What were you able to accomplish? What does happen when neighbors actually come together and get to know each other? 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Salman in San Francisco. Hi, Salman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I hear a lot of people complaining about police presence in poor neighborhoods, but that's where the crime is. And you want the police to solve crime, not to go, you know, smooching with people in Piedmont or Beverly Hills. There is no problem there. And when they come to solve problems, we say, they're profiling. And when they don't come to solve problems, we say, where are the police? They must be at the donut shop. I mean, they are damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. There is too much bad-mouthing of the police, I'm telling you.
All right, well, let's get responses from our guest. Akhil, what's your response?
I would say that, what's that gentleman's name?
Salman.
Salman, I would say you got a point there, you know, and I believe that he has a strong point. You know, there are some things that we need the police for, that, you know, things that happen that we can't have no control over. I would say, on my part, you know, I spent over 20 years in and out of prison, and it never helped anything. The only thing it did was keep me away from my family. There are bad points to that, and there's good points. I would say the guys out there that complain about being harassed on their part, on our part, because I come from that same background. I just don't operate like that no more. It's a strong component if we change the way that we dress, change the way that the people that we hang around, and we change some stuff about us, then the police, usually it's not a problem. You know, I don't have a problem with the police because I don't gangbang no more. I don't sell dope. You know, I don't hurt anybody. I don't commit any robbery. So if the police police my neighborhood, it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? It's actually a good thing. It's good for the kids to have some protection, and for the elderly to have some protection, and the people that can't protect themselves to be looked after. So there's nothing wrong with that. I agree with that part. And that might sound strange coming from a guy from my background, but as far as, like, if we don't do anything illegal, we don't have to worry about that. So I agree with that. He has a strong point with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is not the police. The problem is the police in the context of a criminal justice system that is overly punitive and underly helpful. If you look across the globe in terms of how people respond to crime, you don't find what we have here in the United States, which is 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prisoners. People in the United States, just like other people, want to do well and succeed. Folks in East Oakland want to do well and succeed. Their families want them to do well and succeed. The question is really, how do we create a balance in terms of our society, in terms of how resources are allocated to make sure that people have a good chance of succeeding so that they don't need to turn to that the odds are better that they're graduating from college than they're going to jail. When we start doing that in communities like West Oakland, when we start doing that in communities like South Los Angeles, we have folks across the country who are participating in our Night Out for Safety and Democracy in Houston, Durham, North Carolina. This is something that is really resonating, and that is because people find themselves in cycles of violence and incarceration. Young people are being incarcerated at young ages. They're coming out of prison with limited job opportunities in a very difficult job market. They are having licenses taken away, even to just cut hair or do basic things that have no bearing in terms of what they went into prison for. So you come out with often debt also, because people have to pay child support payments that actually don't go to children. They go to reimburse the state for TANF payments. So you have fathers who say, I can't pay for child support. I can't support my child because of child support. So we're talking about a lifetime of debt that folks are facing and limited economic opportunity.
When you take part in these National Night Out events, do parents express these concerns to you?
Yeah, I mean, parents are expressing these concerns, not just during Night Out, but all during the year.
Yeah. Well, and Akhil, we have a couple more calls I want to get to, but because you work to prevent gang violence in Oakland, and this is obviously a major issue, right. I want to talk to you about that because, you know, we're seeing a crime in San Francisco, cell phone theft, that kind of thing. And I know you work with a lot of those kids. And I think you can give us some insights into why that is happening. And I think that's really important. Todd, yep. In a place like Noe Valley, how do people see police?
I have to say that I can't speak for all of Noe Valley, but I have to say that I feel like the police are a welcomed presence in Noe Valley. I mean, we have let's be honest. Like, we have a different demographic and different set of issues
right.
than, you know, Oakland and South Los Angeles. I mean, so, you know, I look at Captain Moser, who is the captain of the Mission Police Station that is in charge of Noe Valley, as like an ally. Like, I mean, the first day he was on the job, he called me and he said, he introduced himself and he said, you know, if there's anything going on in the neighborhood, like, please let me know. And he gave me his cell phone number. And so, like, you know, I assume that there are best practices that could be shared amongst police officers, just like any other industry or any other profession. And it just sounds, you know, it sounds like that, you know, there are neighborhoods that are definitely much more complicated than Noe Valley, you know, for the, you know, the police to be integrated into.
Yeah.
I mean, I see Captain Moser walking 24th Street. Like, the first day he was on the job, he met with the principal of my children's elementary school to ask if, like, there were any problems going on with the neighborhood, you know, that he could help with. So, I mean, it's not a very easy comparison of, you know, Noe Valley to, you know, to some of these other neighborhoods.
Yeah, of course. It's almost apples and oranges, but it's still interesting to hear about the relationship and how that works there versus other places. So thank you for calling in, Salman. Let's try to get through a few calls and then we'll get some thoughts. Let's hear from Bob in San Francisco. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. What I've noticed after living in this city for 40 years and other smaller cities, that, you know, there's a shrinking environment where people can socialize on a regular basis as they did at one traditionally in public forums, movie theaters, bowling alleys, drive-ins. These were, they look as though, well, what did that serve? Well, it served where people, as I said, on a regular, weekly, daily, twice a month basis, would be able to socialize, interact with each other. Our economy and our culture right now is individual, independent, stay inside, and you're isolated from your community. And that even goes on into small businesses where you had repair shops of all different types and genre. Well, those became part of the neighborhood, and part of the neighborhood, someone would grow up. Youth would then become interested. They would become part of that shop. They would learn the skills. They would open their own shop. They're all broken down and, as I said, automated, and we're forced into a position of being isolated from each other. So until you break that down, you're going to be spinning your wheels, I think, on any kind of project and building stronger communities.
Thank you. I mean, that's why the work that Lakeel does, for example, is so important, to take kids on various field trips, right?
Right?
And get them tickets. I mean, you've got programs that take kids from Hunters Point to Ocean Beach because it's only a half-hour train ride, but they've never been there in some cases.
Right.
Do you want to just comment quickly about that, just how it's not as accessible, these things are, as they used to be?
It's actually really not, and it should be. But one component that I did want to mention is that it's on when I say us, I'm speaking on the people that come from the background I come from, prison and gang violence. So I'll just say us. It's on us for us to create our own activities. When I got out of prison and I decided not to sell drugs anymore, I went to the same block where they sold drugs at, and I sold candy. And that's how what surfaced me in the outreach. I sold candy. And when the police pulled up to jack us, everybody ran but me. And then the cop bought some candy from me. So
wow.
We have to create our own way to operate in the community and be independent. So the message to these guys and these girls out there that are creating havoc, I did it too. But I changed when I changed what I did. So we have to send this message that we have to be independent. We got to start putting together some money and capitalizing on getting our own farms to support for our own wells and our own animals to be providers for these grocery markets and these bowling alleys and these places instead of dependents.
Mm.
We need to do this for ourselves. We need to come together and be independent. We need to turn away from welfare and general assistance and that type of stuff. We need to get off of that. We're better people than that. And we need to start teaching and telling these kids that. We need to start letting them know this.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Bob. Lisa, we don't have time to take your call, but Lisa wanted to say an important factor for keeping people safe is having a good public school system and college system. And I'm sure she also means affordable, so everybody has access to it. So thank you for that comment. Final thoughts from all of you. Tonight is National Night Out again. 30 million people taking to the streets to get to know their neighbors, create safer communities. Zach? Final thoughts?
Don't watch your neighbors, see them. When we look to each other with compassion, we can support that young man who's selling candy. We can support that young woman who is trying to do right. And so I think, you know, go to ellabakercenter.org, download the poster, and get involved in terms of how do you think resources should be spent? Does it make sense to you to spend $150,000 to lock up a young person and $7,000 on our public school system? What can we do to really engage our elected officials towards a more long-term, sustainable community safety solutions?
Thank you. And final thoughts from you, Todd?
You know, I think don't underestimate people's desire for community. I mean, I really think that, I mean, I just, every day when I walk down the street on 24th Street, like people, there's a palpable feeling of wanting, of individuals wanting to connect with each other. And I think that, I would push back on anyone who would say that that is just like a very specific Noe Valley experience. I think it's, you know, throughout history, people have always wanted to connect with each other. And I think that that's still there. And I think trying to come up with creative ways for people to be able to do that, that is the challenge for communities and community leaders, to come up with those ways for people to be able to connect with each other.
All right. Thank you. And Akhil, we'd love to have you back to talk about how to reach out to these kids that we've been talking about on the show today.
Absolutely.
To have an honest conversation about that. Zach Norris is executive director of the Ella Baker Center. Akhil Trousseau is a community organizer who prevents gang violence in Oakland. And Todd David is president of the Friends of Noe Valley in San Francisco. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. How should water be distributed in California? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about California Governor Jerry Brown's plan to build twin tunnels under the Bay Delta. They're designed to carry water to farms and cities further south. Some environmentalists say the plan is dangerous and destructive to the Delta's fragile ecosystem. Others have proposed compromises like building smaller tunnels. So how do you think water should be distributed? Join the conversation. Call in with your questions on the next Your Call with Holly Kernan and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Debbie Kennedy is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.